Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm Chris Terracon, subbing today for Carrie and Tholis. This season of Jury Duty explores the trial of Michael Barrisone, who is charged with the attempted murders of Lauren Canerac and Robert Goodwin in Long Valley, New Jersey. Canerac was struck in the chest by two bullets from Barrisone's weapon, and, as it was undisputed that Barrisone fired those shots, his legal team argued that he was not guilty because he was legally insane at the time of the shooting, and, in the alternative, because he fired those shots in self-defense. In our last episode, we continued our review of defense attorney Edward Belinkis' cross-examination of Mr. Goodwin, as he sought to delve deeper into the recordings made by the witness of the defendant and others on the Barrisone farm. In this installment, we continue our look at Belinkis' questioning of that witness by exploring the witness's awareness of the defendant's efforts to evict him and his girlfriend from his property. That's all coming up right after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
At the end of our last episode, defense attorney Edward Belinkis asked Robert Goodwin about his efforts to collect from the defendant compensation for construction work that he did on Barrisone's property. Prosecutor Christopher Shellhorn objected to the question, and Judge Stephen Taylor sustained the objection, ruling the inquiry irrelevant and a waste of time. He then invited Belinkis to move on to a different line of questioning.
Mr. Goodwin, on August 6th, were you notified that Michael Barrisone's lawyer had sent a letter telling you and Lauren to get out of the home?
Are you asking if I was aware of it August 6th?
Yes.
I'm not 100% certain.
Were you aware that Michael Barrisone's attorney sent a letter to Lauren and her father telling them to get out?
Again, I'm not aware exactly of August 5th or whatever. What day we received the letter from the attorney.
Okay, but you will agree with me that on August 5th is the day you went to the town to try to get him kicked out of his...
August 5th is when I dropped the letter off, correct?
Were you aware that a formal eviction complaint was served on August 6th?
I was not. I don't think there was any eviction taking place.
Now, when the town came on August 6th, the day before the shooting, did you show them different areas and point things out to them?
I do not believe so.
Did you personally talk to town officials about specific items?
I believe when there was a discussion on August 5th when I dropped off the letter.
And who did you have that discussion with?
One of the clerks.
And you were one of the contractors working, correct?
I was doing some construction there.
When you say you were doing construction, weren't you doing tens of thousands of dollars of work for Michael Barrisone in exchange for you being able to live there and board horses?
So apparently I was doing free construction.
You admit that?
No. Sorry. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
Apparently I did construction that I did not get paid for, 1 cent.
And that was something that Lauren and her dad agreed to have you do with Michael Barrisone, correct?
Not correct.
Well, for instance, when you wanted to submit a bill, it was Lauren, not Michael Barrisone, that convinced you not to submit that bill, correct?
Lauren talked me into accepting another form of payment, but as I said yesterday, in Florida, me and Michael discussed whatever's left over can go towards payment towards me.
When you say left over, would you agree that...
Well, the horses...
Would you agree that on the day of the shooting, the farmhouse was far from being fully completed?
So were the apartments that Michael was building above the barn for 2 years. Doesn't mean the work took place during that time.
Did you ever specifically instigate shit with Michael?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Did you ever attempt to instigate an altercation with Michael Barrisone at any point?
Did I instigate it? I don't believe so.
Blinkist shows Goodwin a text exchange he had with Lauren Kanarek.
Does that refresh your recollection as to whether or not you ever intentionally tried to instigate an altercation with Michael Barrisone?
No, I don't know what that's in reference to.
Did you ever threaten Ruth Cox?
No.
You never threatened her at the barn, telling her that she was going to go down?
Objection, Judge.
After another sidebar, Judge Taylor allows the line of questioning, but asks the defense attorney to pose his inquiry in an admissible form.
Blinkus, please rephrase your question.
Do you remember an instance up at the stable area where you got into an argument with Michael Barrisone?
I remember one instance, yeah.
And was Ruth Cox there?
No, I don't believe so.
You don't have any recollection of a threat being made where Michael Barrisone and Ruth Cox are together?
I don't believe Ruth Cox was there when me and Michael had an argument about JT the horse and not going to the show.
Did you get very loud and were you yelling with regards to that?
We were both loud and yelling.
I'm referring to you. Did you get loud and were you screaming at Michael Barrisone?
I got loud.
Now, with regards to your discussions with Lauren Kanarek and the father about calling the town and getting Michael Barrisone kicked out of the area that he was now living in, did you tell them well, let's hope this doesn't backfire on me. Did you make that statement?
That is correct, and at the time I wasn't 100%, I was in the clear when I filed the report.
Now, you're currently suing Michael Barrisone, correct?
Objection.
No.
You already ruled on this, Your Honor.
I'm not talking about construction, Judge.
What? So specify what you're talking about then.
Are you suing Michael Barrisone for anything related to the shooting?
Me? No.
You're not involved in that lawsuit?
Not at all.
Now, were you aware of Lauren Kanarek's plan at any point in time prior to the shooting? Her plan to destroy Michael Barrisone?
No.
Did Michael Barrisone ever threaten you?
Oh, I don't think so.
Did Michael Barrisone, to your knowledge, ever threaten Lauren Kanarek?
I'm not sure.
Well, didn't you tell the police no, that he never threatened Lauren Kanarek?
What, talking about in his presence?
Any knowledge that he has? Do you have any knowledge?
I'm not sure.
What? Do you have any knowledge whatsoever from any source that Michael Barrisone ever threatened Lauren Kanarek?
Nothing's coming to my mind, but that I believe would be a question for Lauren.
You guys have been together for how long?
Very long time.
And I assume you talk about things on a daily basis?
Would be correct.
Did Lauren Kanarek ever mention to you that her life was being threatened
Again, I do not recall that specifically. Got a question for Lauren, I believe.
Now, on the morning of the 7th, did you have an altercation with the blacksmith?
I don't believe so.
Did you get into an argument with him?
Blacksmith's name?
Arnie Gervasio.
I do not believe so, no. I don't think I've ever had a bad moment with Arnie.
Did you see Arnie on the morning of the shooting?
I don't recall.
Was there an instance where...
Judge, he's already indicated multiple times he doesn't recall.
Did you attempt to have...
If there's a way to refresh his recollection, but I would object to any specific questions being asked where he's just said that he doesn't have any recollection.
Judge, if I can ask them...
Let me see it, sidebar.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
After a sidebar conversation, Judge Taylor overrules the objection and allows defense attorney Belenkis to proceed.
Mr. Goodman, we're talking about August 7th, 2019, the day of the shooting. Is it your testimony that you don't recall having an issue with the Ferrier blacksmith on that morning?
No, I do not specifically remember seeing or talking to the Ferrier.
Belenkis again shows Goodwin a text exchange that he had with his girlfriend and asks if that refreshes his recollection.
It was a very, very simple issue. They may have been scheduled to put shoes on our horses, and I guess from what I recall is that Michael told him not to shoe our horses anymore.
When the farrier told you that Michael said not to shoe the horses, did you make a physical threat against Michael Barrison?
I do not recall specifically.
Did you communicate this issue and problem to Lauren Cantorac on that day?
I'm sure I may have spoke about her horses not being shod that day. It's a possibility.
When you say it's a possibility, doesn't your text directly address that issue with Lauren Cantorac?
I see the text. I do not specifically remember the text or sending the text on that day, but I can see it's there.
And during that discussion, did Lauren Cantorac tell you to finish the bastard, meaning Michael Barrison?
Objection.
After yet another quick sidebar, Judge Taylor directs the witness not to respond.
Don't answer. Objection sustained.
Now, with all the recording that you were doing in the stable area, were you aware that Michael Barrison had hired a debugging company to try to find the recordings?
How would I be aware of that?
So your answer is no?
No.
Just answer the question, please.
Were you aware that he hired a private security guard to sit in his truck at night and guard the stable area?
No.
You never saw a guy's truck outside all night long in front or the side of the stable?
I've seen a car. I believe Lauren called 911 at the time it was going up there, but no, I was never up there at that time to witness a security guard or know a security guard was there.
Did you hear them talking about hiring a security guard?
No, not recall.
Now, with regards to the incident, when Michael Barrison came down from the stable area, you were on the telephone with your lawyer, correct?
Correct.
Were you planning on filing a lawsuit against Michael Barrison before the shooting?
I think the purpose of the attorney was to work out and continue our original deal that we had.
When you say the original deal, everything had deteriorated to the point of no return, correct?
That is true.
And it's your testimony that the reason you called the attorney was to try to keep things going at the facility?
I mean, I'm not sure what the arrangement between Lauren and the attorney was. She was more involved with it than I was.
Okay, and why did you call the attorney on that day?
I think he called me.
All right, so you're on the phone with the attorney and you're upstairs in the bedroom, correct?
Correct.
And at some point you hear Lauren calling for you, correct?
Correct.
Now, at that point, nothing had happened, correct?
No, she was informing me that Michael was there.
When you say informing you, was she screaming?
She said, Rob, Michael's here.
And did that cause you any concern?
No.
Even in light of the fact that you got him kicked out of the stable, did you think about that?
I mean, concern about him murdering us? No. I mean, confrontation? Yes. I mean, at that point, I didn't know he was at the house, though, either.
Okay.
You know, she said Michael was here, and that's all I didn't understand any context of, you know, what it was. I came downstairs.
And when you use the term confrontation, you saw a confrontation between Michael Barrisone and your girlfriend on a previous occasion, correct?
I don't know what that's in reference to.
Did you ever see your girlfriend get into Michael Barrisone's face, push him back 20 feet to his car, him trying to leave, and her grabbing his door, shutting it, refusing to allow him to leave? Did you?
I don't think I was present if that happened.
You never saw that?
Judge, you ruled on this yesterday.
Yeah, move on, Mr. Belinkis.
So Lauren Cataract says Michael is here, and you're still on the phone with the attorney, correct?
Correct.
You walk down, you open the door, and you step onto the landing, correct?
That's correct.
Now, prior to you walking outside, did you hand the phone to Lauren?
I did at the bottom of the steps before we came outside. We were pretty much either somewhere in the laundry room or right as I got down the steps from my apartment.
Okay, so when you say down the steps, you're talking about the steps inside, not outside, correct?
Correct.
So Lauren is inside at this point. You walk out onto the landing on top of the steps in the back of the house, correct?
Correct.
Did you shut the door?
I think Lauren may have shut the door. I don't know. She was right behind me.
Okay. And according to you, Michael says, can't we work this out? I don't want to go to war.
Correct.
Now.
Or how can we work this out? I don't want a war.
Okay. Now, would you agree with me that when he said that, he was calm?
I agree, you look normal, yes.
You've described him as sorrowful. Isn't that a fact?
I do not believe so. I don't know what we're referring to.
Okay. At which point in time you say something to the effect, lawyers are involved, they'll resolve it, correct?
I said that he brought lawyers into it so the lawyers can handle it.
Now, at that point in time, you turn your back and start walking away from Michael Barrisone, correct?
Not at all.
When did Lauren Cataract come outside?
Well, I think she was behind me. She said she'll go talk to him. She wanted to try to, I guess, work something out.
When you say work something out?
I don't know what it was in regards to.
Would you agree with me that at that point she was pissed off before she even said anything to Barrisone?
Are you asking how I feel when Lauren's?
No, I'm asking you your observations of Lauren Cataract. Was she angry?
No, she wanted to. I don't know what she was trying to work out. I mean, in my mind, there was nothing to work out. But she said, you know, she wanted to work something out. I guess she at least wanted to hear what he had to say.
Did she casually walk down to talk to him, or did she stomp her way towards him?
She walked over to him. She came down the steps and walked over towards him.
Okay, and you, did you go into the house?
I stayed there on the porch watching the conversation, or what? Watching what I thought was going to be a conversation.
So after you talked to Michael Barrisone and Lauren Cataract walked down the stairs to talk to Michael, did she, after that, walk up the stairs, open the door, and tell you don't come out?
No.
Were you present when she made her statement to the prosecutor's office?
No.
Did you talk to her about the events and what happened on that night prior to her giving the statement to the prosecutor?
I know. We've talked many times about the incident. It was a very life-changing incident, and unfortunately, I will never forget or get over. So, I mean, I don't understand. Did I coach her? Are you saying?
No,
I don't understand.
I'm not asking her coaching her, but before she went to talk to the prosecutor and give her official version of the event.
I don't think so. I was instructed, I think, not to.
By who?
By the police, I believe.
When?
I don't know. Lauren was in the hospital for 3 weeks. Sometimes in that 3 weeks, I think I was told somewhere along the line not to discuss. Yeah.
It's your testimony that after she got out of the hospital and came home that you and her never talked about that day, what happened, who did what each other's recollection was.
I just said I'm not sure specifically what was talked about and when was talked about it, but it was a major life-changing event that Lauren, unfortunately, will have to live with problems for the rest of her life because a man shot her 2 times unprovoked. Tried to kill me and her.
And so, as far as your recollection is concerned, you have no recollection of Lauren, after you talked to Michael, coming to the back door, opening up, and yelling for you not to come out.
I was outside. I witnessed the whole thing.
Now, when you say you witnessed the whole thing, didn't you tell the police you heard the shots?
Of course I heard the shots. I also watched the shots.
Mr. Belinkas, is this a good time to take our morning recess?
After the break, Judge Taylor addresses 2 jury-related issues. Both issues derive from the fact that some of the jurors are seated in the first 2 rows of the gallery because of COVID-related social distancing rules. The first relates to a juror who may have seen documents on one of the prosecutor's computers. After that juror assures him that he wasn't able to read any of the material, Taylor admonishes the lawyers to take steps to avoid such exposure in the future and moves on to the second issue.
I was informed by my staff that some of the jurors in the second row may have heard whispering coming from the gallery. That's completely unacceptable. Not that the jurors heard it, but there's whispering in the gallery. People in the gallery cannot talk about the case, especially because we have jurors in the first 2 rows. And members of the jury, thank you for bringing that to my staff's attention. If it persists, I will have my courtroom cleared. Do I make myself clear? Please do not discuss any aspect of the case. Do not speak about the case. Do not speak about anything that may distract our jurors when you are in the courtroom. If there is another complaint, I will exercise my authority and clear the courtroom except for the jurors.
With those issues addressed, Judge Taylor invites Edward Belinkas to continue his cross-examination of Robert Goodwin.
It's a good one. You testified that you saw the actual shooting of Lauren Cunningham, correct?
Yes.
Did you previously tell Corporal Thomas Fellini that after you talked to Michael Barrisone, you turned to walk back into the residence, then Lauren Cataract walked over to speak to Michael Barrisone?
Judge, can we come to sidebar?
Again, after the sidebar, Judge Taylor overrules the objection, but also offers some guidance to the defense attorney.
Reword and clarify your questioning of the witness, please.
Mr. Goodwin, after the shooting, did you talk to the Washington Township Police Department?
I did.
Did you give them a statement right after the incident as to what actually happened?
I did give a statement.
Did you tell the Washington Township Police Department that after you spoke to Michael Barrisone, you turned your back and walked into the house?
To walk back into the house. This is the problem, Mr. Belinkas. Why don't you show it to him and ask the witness if that's what he said to the police?
It says walk into the residence. That's why I said that.
Belinkas appears to have satisfied the judge for the moment as he allows him to present the witness with evidence of a statement contrary to his memory.
All right, please proceed.
It's a good one. I'm going to show you an affidavit and ask you to read that to see if it refreshes your recollection as to what you specifically told the police immediately after the incident.
This is a transcript of the recorded.
It's an affidavit from the police.
I'm not familiar with what that means.
It's a sworn statement submitted by the police.
That is not accurate.
So is it your testimony that you never told the police immediately after the incident that after you talked to Michael Barrisone, you walked into the residence and heard gunshots?
That doesn't say I walk into the residence. It says what's important in that thing is that it says that I did.
That the witness not comment on what's contained in the police document.
Judge Taylor hears Prosecutor Shellhorn's objection at sidebar, sustains it, and asks Edward Belenkis to move on from asking the witness whether he told the police that he went back into the house before the shooting. With that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Michael Barisone. Join us on our next installment as Belenkis concludes his cross-examination of Robert Goodwin. If you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracon. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio, and the trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll come back for the next episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Michael Barisone.